Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
It's important for all of us, especially new pro-life activists, to understand the history of our efforts to protect life. Over the course of this special series, Abortion in America, we'll talk about the major milestones of our efforts and touch on this history of the pro-life movement in America. If you miss an episode, you can always listen online at prolifeperspective.com. We start as far back as 1959 when the American Law Institute, or ALI, proposed a model penal code for state abortion laws. The code advocated legalizing abortion for reasons that included the mental or physical health of the mother, pregnancy that was due to rape and incest, and fetal deformity. Pro-abortion forces went to work attempting to pass ALI model laws in a number of states. In 1967, a group of concerned citizens formed a steering committee in Virginia to defeat pro-abortion efforts in the state. Calling themselves the Virginia Society for Human Life, the first state pro-life organization succeeded in defeating the ALI model law. That same year, however, Colorado Governor John Love signed the model law, making Colorado the first state to allow abortion in cases of permanent mental or physical disability of either the child or mother, or in cases of rape or incest. Similar laws were then passed in California, Oregon, and North Carolina. State Right to Life organizations began forming in New York, Minnesota, and elsewhere to keep the pro-life laws on the books. It quickly became apparent that there was a need for an umbrella organization, and in 1968, the National Right to Life Committee was formed to bring state right to life leaders together and coordinate information and strategy sharing among the state organizations. It published a monthly newsletter and sent regular mailings with updates to state and local pro-life leaders. In 1970, New York allowed abortion on demand up to the 24th week of pregnancy. Governor Nelson A. Rockefeller signed a bill repealing the state's 1830 law prohibiting abortion except to save a woman's life. Similar laws were soon passed in Alaska, Hawaii, and Washington State. More state organizations began forming, and National Right to Life's network increased. In 1971, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on its first case involving abortion in United States v. Vuitch, upholding a District of Columbia law permitting abortion only to preserve a woman's life or health. However, the court made it clear that by health, it meant psychological and physical well-being, effectively allowing abortion for any reason. National Right to Life brought pro-life leaders together for the first national convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, to provide networking and educational opportunities for leaders working at the state and local levels. By the end of 1972, a total of 13 states adopted ALI-type laws. Four states allowed abortion on demand, Mississippi allowed abortion for rape and incest, while Alabama allowed abortion for the mother's physical health. However, 31 states allowed abortion only to save the mother's life. That same year, New York repealed its 1970 abortion law, but Governor Rockefeller vetoed the repeal. Then, on January 22, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court issued its infamous ruling in Roe v. Wade, finding that a right of privacy it had earlier discovered was broad enough to encompass a right to abortion. The ruling laid out the following structure. In the first trimester, a state could enact virtually no regulation. In the second trimester, the state could enact some regulation, but only for the purpose of protecting maternal health. In the third trimester, after viability, a state could ostensibly proscribe abortion, provided it made exceptions to preserve the life and health of the woman seeking abortion. Doe v. Bolton, Roe's companion case, defined health to mean all factors that affect the woman, including physical, emotional, psychological, familial, and the woman's age. This loophole meant that the real bottom line was that abortion on demand was legalized throughout pregnancy. Join us again for part two of Abortion in America. And don't forget, you can listen to the entire series at prolifeperspective.com.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.